happening, church? How exciting is it? Our Savior is born. That is what we're here to celebrate tonight. This is not just a somber night. This is a night of celebration as we worship our Savior and remembering what he came to do all those years ago. So as we prepare to dive into worship this morning, let's go to the Lord tonight. Wow. Sorry. Habit. Tonight, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And I just want to welcome everybody here. Let's bow. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for each person that is here. Thank you for safe travels, for getting here. Father, just open our hearts and our minds as we prepare to enter into worship, remembering that you are the reason for the season. That is not just about the presents. It's not just about the candles and the Christmas lights and everything else, but it's about you. May we remember that tonight as we worship and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's stand and continue to praise our Savior.
Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him a room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. the door in Christ the Lord. Yeah. The gloomy clouds of night.
A new Christmas song to you guys this tonight. Father, we just say thank you that we can come before you tonight. You are the light of this world. We just say thank you, Father. We just say thank you because you are good. You're so good. Amen.
The season for watching and waiting is over. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. This is the light of the world, and the darkness cannot be extinguished. The center candle represents Christ himself, the light that cannot be put out. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of his salvation from day to day, declaring his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all people. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the people. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts and worship the Lord in his holy splendor. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord is king. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. He will judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. That's the last of the Advent candles for us to light this season. And it's a reminder that the center one is Christ, who we are celebrating his birth tonight. The one that can never be put out, that can never be hidden. I want to welcome you all here tonight, this evening, as we celebrate the birth of our Savior. The night so many of us have waited for. It's Christmas Eve. Family and friends from all over have gathered together to celebrate the fact that Jesus came. It's during the Christmas season that we join together with our brothers and sisters in Christ from all over the world, and even in our brothers and sisters in the past, as we celebrate the fact that the Messiah has come and came to make a way where there was no way. It's a unique time of year where we are to remember the hope and the peace, the joy and the love that Christ brought to all of his creation that first Christmas. Before we dive into the message tonight, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for each person here. Father, I thank you that we can come together in this way, that we can remember you, that we can celebrate you. Lord, we know not everyone gets that opportunity. But Lord, we thank you. Father, I ask that it's your words that are spoken this evening and not my own. Father, I ask that your spirit may just be known here. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. The world around us is hurting. The world around us doesn't have peace. The world around us is struggling, and everywhere they go, there's wars and rumors of wars. And this isn't the first time that anything like this has happened. This has been going on for centuries and thousands of years. You see, mankind is fallen. Mankind has a problem, where we like to take things onto ourselves and we like to go our own direction. And we've done that since the beginning. But yet God himself created us in his image. And he loves us. And he wanted to make a way to restore us since the very beginning. In Hebrews 1:1-3, it says, long ago, God spoke to our ancestors by the prophets at different times and in different ways. In these last days, he spoke to us by his Son. God has appointed him heir of all things and made the universe through him. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression of his nature, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After making purifications for sin, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. You see, the writer of Hebrew was excited from the beginning. He starts off talking about how things used to be. Then he gets to the wow factor of what God has done through his Son. He gets excited for what is happening in the midst. You know, so often this time of year, I think we lose the wow factor of what God has done. Maybe because many of us have heard it so many times. We've heard it growing up in the church. Year after year, we hear the story of Christmas. We hear about how Jesus is fully God, yet he became fully man. We hear the story how Mary became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit while still a virgin. Yet somewhere along the lines, we've heard the story so many times, I think we lose the excitement of what God did on that very first Christmas. We lose the joy of it, the day God became man. We take for granted that Jesus came to take on human flesh, to live among us and to die one of the most horrible deaths, a sentence to death on the cross. The cross was often only used for the most heinous of crimes, a death sentence that was designed to bring about the most pain possible, to pay a debt that wasn't his to pay so that we don't have to. He did it to restore a fallen world. Tonight, I want us to pause and think for just a moment about the significance of what we're celebrating. The fact that the long-awaited Messiah had arrived. The one who came to make a way where there was no other way. To restore us to our Heavenly Father above. See, the writer of Hebrew acknowledged that in the past God spoke to the world, and he did this through some very unique ways. He spoke to Moses using a burning bush. He guided the Israelites in the deserts during the day with a cloud and a fire by night. He spoke through prophets and teachers. He inspired men and women over thousands of years to call his people to turn back to him. God spoke, yet somehow it was never enough. At times there was confusion over what God meant when he spoke. Some of them would ask, was it really God talking? Was that really the voice of God? Sometimes God had to speak several times on the same subject because people got it wrong. Because so often we're hard-headed. At least I know I am. We know that God is a just God. He's also a God that wants nothing more than to restore each of us back to him. To have a relationship with you and I along with everyone else here on earth. But because sin entered this world and creating this divide between us and God, he came up with a plan to restore all of humanity, to forgive their past and future sins. So at just the right time, as with all of God's timing, God sent his son to make a way where there was no way. He sent his son to restore each of us. And that's what we're celebrating this Christmas. The fact that God made a way where we saw no other way. It tells us in Luke chapter 1, 26 through 38, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. The angel told her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary asked the angel, "How can this be, since I have not had sexual relations with a man?" The angel replied to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And consider your relative Elizabeth. Even she has conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who is called childless. For nothing is impossible with God." "You see, I'm the Lord's servant," said Mary. "May it happen to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. And that brings us to Christmas Eve. In Luke 2, it says, "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. The first registration took place while Cornelius was governor of Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each in his own town. Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was from the family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Then she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him tightly in cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no room available for them. In the same region, the shepherds were staying out in the field, keeping watch at night over the flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you a good news of great joy for all people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly hosts with the angels praising and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven. Peace on earth to the people he favors." When the angels had left, they returned to heaven, and the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. After seeing them, they reported the message that was told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things in her heart and meditated on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things he had seen and heard, which had just as they had been told. You see, the promise of the long-awaited Messiah was finally here. What God had promised all those years ago throughout the prophets and saying that the Messiah would come had finally come true. When Jesus entered the world, John reminds us in chapter 1, verse 14, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed his glory and the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." See, the Word of God came to us. Lots of people have heard his voice. They have heard it through his preaching while he was here on earth. People have heard the Word of God when Jesus was here, and they've heard it through reading his word we call the Bible. They have experienced his grace in some of the most difficult times in their lives. They have felt his assurance of love and read his desire for a relationship with them from around the world. Yet hearing is only part of it. It's only part of the story. If all we ever do is hear the story of Jesus and what he did, if we hear the voice of Jesus yet walk away unchanged, then we might as well have never heard it at all. God has spoken remarkable things through his son Jesus, the one who everything was created through, the one who sustains us all through his powerful words. He came to us as a helpless baby in a simple manger to be one of us, to show us how to live and how to love others. He came to us as a helpless baby so ultimately he could give his life so that we could be restored to our heavenly Father. See, he came to make a way where there was no way. He came to bring hope where there was no hope. The world around us is full of no hope because we haven't taken the gospel of Jesus out to everyone else. And why did he speak? He spoke so we could hear the hope that he has for each of us, so that we could experience the peace that he has for each of us, so that we may understand the joy that he has for each of us, and that we may feel the love that God has for each of us, so that all of us may experience the forgiveness in our lives that only comes through Christ alone, that we may experience a new life that comes in Jesus alone, one that we're called to share with the world around us. You know, the saddest fact of all Christian history and world history is that so many have dismissed or rejected our Savior. They missed the gracious words God so clearly spoke through his son, Jesus. Hearing the voice of Christ yet missing his words is heartbreaking. But just as bad as discovering the love and forgiveness of Christ and not sharing it with others. You know, if you missed a lot this year, don't miss out on what Christ did for you and I. We celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Christmas because Christ came to us as a child. Yet let us not forget that that child grew into a man that was willing to go to the cross and pay a penalty for you and I. Even though he knew what he would have to go through, even though he knew the suffering he would face, he still came. What an amazing God we serve. Yet with everything we have heard, many will ignore this message and live tonight and tomorrow without him. May we not be like one of those unable to accept his coming. Instead, tonight, may we check our hearts May we remember, even with Christmas lights, the big meals and the gifts and everything that's in front of us, may we remember that Jesus is the reason for the season. May we remember what he came to do is the greatest gift of all. And that it's through Christ that we find hope and joy. And that's the basis of our salvation. You know, John 3:16 is one of the most well-known verses in the Bible. And it actually wraps up the mission of Christ so clearly. It shows us exactly what we need to hear. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So there's a challenge for us all. Even during the busyness of Christmas, the clatter and the activity of our celebrations, I want to encourage you, don't leave tonight without finding out who God is in your life, without listening for that still small voice and letting him speak to you and letting him change your life. Don't leave without accepting that free gift of salvation that we're promised if we turn to him. Come talk to me. Come talk to Pastor Kerwin, any of our elders. Come talk to your friends, families, aunts, uncles, mom and dad, whoever brought you. Find out who Jesus is and why we celebrate and why it's so important. The lost and hurting world around us is hurting because they don't know who Jesus is. They're working within their own ambitions. But yet when we discover the love of Christ, things change. I promise the gift of Jesus is a far better gift than anything else anyone can ever receive. And I know he will transform your life, something magnificent. May we remember that Jesus is the reason for the season this year, and always has been. And may we not take that for granted. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the opportunity to come together and to remember your Son and his birth. But Father, may we always remember that it points to the cross, that it points to what you came to do. Lord, may we find joy in that. May we not take that for granted. Father, may we lift up those around us who don't know you. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we gather up for our closing songs and our candlelight time, one of the things I love to do at Christmas time is take communion, because Christmas does point to Easter and the hope that is found in Jesus. Now, here at this church, we practice what's called believer's communion, meaning that if you're a believer in Christ and you've accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior, you are welcome to join us in communion. You don't need to be a member. But if you're not a believer, I do ask that you do set this part out. This is something special for those of us who call on Jesus. Kids are welcome to, but it's at your discretion. You know where their heart is. You know where they're at. With that being said, does anybody need a communion cup? I know we've got some people up and ready to give if you need some. Looks like we need some over here. Anybody else? Anyone else? As we prepare to take communion this evening, let me remind you of a passage in 1 Corinthians 11:27 through 29, where it says, "So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sin against the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself in this way. Let him eat the bread and drink from the cup, for whoever eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." What this is saying is that we're called to take a moment and examine our hearts and minds before we take communion. So we're going to take about a minute, where I want you to take some time, and if there's anything you've been holding back and not giving to God, hand it over to him before we take communion. Double check yourself. Let's go to prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we prepare to take communion tonight, Father, may you just examine our hearts. Father, if there's anything in our lives that we're holding back, may we just turn it over to you. May we place it into your hands. Father, may we not take this for granted, but remembering what Jesus did up on that cross for each of us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So for those who don't know, they peel off really simply. You know, on the night of his betrayal, Jesus was having dinner, celebrating the Passover dinner with his disciples. And as he had gathered together with them, he took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to them and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. You may partake." After he had done that, in the same way, he took the cup from the supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Do this in remembrance of me. You may drink." Father, may we remember the reason for the season. May we remember your Son and all that he has given us. Father, we thank you for the way he came to make a way where there was no way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God for that. So at this moment is when we like to circle up all the way around. If you've been here before, you know how this works. If this is your first Christmas Eve service with us, we gather all the way around the outside edge for candlelight and for a couple quick songs. And for parents, if you don't want your kid holding one, we do have electric ones. For the little ones, we do have some electric ones. Go ahead and bring the lights down. Merry Christmas, everyone. Hey, God bless you guys as you guys head out tonight. May you remember that Jesus is the reason for the season, and thank you guys so much for coming out. You guys are more than welcome to chit-chat, say Merry Christmas to each other, have a little fellowship time. But God bless you guys, and remember, you are loved.